time for Live and Direct, thanks to NZ On Air Music. Good God!
Roy Ewan has had a steady solo career for, I'm guessing, about nearly a decade now, releasing over 20-odd records. He's been in bands as well, Heidi Pasadena and Cool Runnings. And if memory serves me correctly, Roy was my first ever guest on BFM. I was looking it up because I remember I brought the Things Are Burning cassette from you.
That's
which,
right.
Which was in 2011.
Whoa, man.
Which is very wild. Yeah. Time flies. So Roy just released a new record, King of Pop, on 1 to 12, and very keen to have him in studio. Roy, thank you so much for turning up.
Thanks for having me.
So we're going to hear a couple tracks, and then we'll have a yarn about your new record.
All right. The song's an old song called Red.
Tired and sleeping, kissing your neck, I can't believe this is happening to me. What would you have said if you left with me, laying in bed instead of giving your head with a headstone towering above you and I? Said I do wanna sleep in a bed tonight, but you can't come along. I said I sleep on the couch, your family will find out by the morning I'll be gone. So thinking of you. Without no reason, a taste in my mouth and a feeling like I've lost it again. Talking to myself was easier instead of waiting around, yelling at the walls, expecting something of you and I. Sleep in a bed tonight, but you can't come alone. I said I sleep on the couch, your family won't find out by the morning I'll be gone. Still thinking of you.
One of King of Pop called Jesus Sleeps.
Down on the streets where Jesus sleeps, the demon smile. Molesting freaks coasting through a field of fire. Coasting through a field of fire.
Roy Owen performing live in the 95 BFM studio. Roy, that was fantastic.
Thank you.
Jesus turns up a bit in the music.
Yeah.
Are you a religious person? Have you been a religious person?
No, I've never been a religious person. Maybe a spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
But I dig Jesus.
Jesus was cool.
That's a really good word. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not religious, but he just pops up and shit.
How come?
I don't. I think I may have started as a joke. Just watching heaps of people trying to get witchy and talk about Satan and stuff, and I was like, well, I'll just talk about Jesus. But I don't know, man. Like, everyone's got their own God. Maybe that's a whole other story.
Fair call. One thing I was thinking about while you were performing was how, you know, when it kind of boils down to everything, it's always been like you and a guitar, right?
Yeah.
How did you get into playing guitar?
I originally played bass from the age of like 15 to 18, and then my grandparents gave me a broken acoustic guitar,
mm-hmm.
and then I started learning stuff on that, and I was more attracted to guitars and guitarists, so it just kind of happened from there.
How was it broken?
It was the back was kind of coming out of it. It had like three strings. I didn't know how to tune a guitar, so it was just this like fucking mess, mm. and I learned how to play Smoke on Water on that.
Sick.
It was cool.
Done.
But yeah, it was. It used to be like a guitar for the drop-in center in Panmure.
Yep.
I used to go there when I was a kid, and so it was, yeah. It was pretty like beat up and very not functional.
No. Hey, that first track, Red, as you said, is an older one.
Yeah.
Why does That one has always kind of been a staple in your sets.
Yeah.
Why does that one stick with you?
It's funny because I don't really like playing older songs, but that's, like you said, is a staple. I really enjoy playing it. It's kind of my go-to
mm.
for when I don't feel super comfortable, because it's a song that I know off the back of my head.
Yeah.
And I feel comfortable doing it, and that's why I like playing it.
Cool. How do you feel about your older material, looking back? Do you listen to your older stuff?
Sometimes. Like, I went back and I was thinking about like trying to remix some stuff.
Yeah.
And but I don't listen to it. When I do, I feel weird about it. It's, you know, you're a different person all the time. So from like being 30 now to recording that when I was 20 is really weird. Lots of different influences.
Yeah, so what are you influenced by now?
Lately I've been just listening heavily to, this has been the same answer for a while, but it's the same, Cocteau Twins, and I really like Beach House, and I've been listening to jazz lately too.
Cool.
Yeah.
Funny you mentioned Beach House. I remember when, so their new album Seven just came out, you posted Pay No Mind.
Yeah, it was a fucking good song.
Holy shit. The rest of that record, like, I, you know, it's good.
It's like give or take.
But Pay No Mind,
that's a really good song.
Yeah. And it's not, it's just like a good, I think it's because it's like a, what I like about it is it's just like a good classic song.
Yeah. Snow- it could almost... It's like a muffled kind of bloody My Bloody Valentine.
Mm.
A little bit. I don't know. It's, to put it lightly, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that track in particular.
Yeah.
You've been performing solo again after having a bit of a backing band.
Yep.
With you for the last wee while. How come?
Well, I was playing with Piss, it was really fun, and I just like, I don't know, not to talk smack on any of those guys because they're amazing.
Yeah.
But like, I just felt like the songs weren't being projected how I wanted them to sound. Mm-hmm. And I was very honest about that. Yeah. With them too. I still want to play with them, but I just the stuff that I record and write, I want to maybe like, I want to project it more how I hear it in my head.
Yeah.
And like, I just went through a period where I was just like, I'm really fucking sick of playing in like rock bands, because I've been doing it since I was 15.
Mm.
And I just, you know, and they're all on board with that too, so you know, Rapley and Kim have been like, we should play this like how it sounds. It's just it's just how it happened at that particular time.
And so let's talk about how your record sounds. What were the sounds that you were going for on King of Pop?
It's a weird one, but maybe on more of the instrumental tracks, I wanted it to be a bit more like atmospheric, and I guess I was like pulling influences from Cocteau Twins, kind of like the jangly bits and with the really loud leads and just lots of reverb. It's nothing new, but it was mostly around that, and I wanted to make really just like, I don't know, good pop songs in my head. And so I wanted it all to all kind of meld together and kind of sound the same, rather than Soda, which was kind of a mix of things.
Glad you brought up Soda, and I'd be foolish not to talk about kind of the Spotify success.
It's crazy.
Demon's Cave has, I think, what, nearly 3 million streams?
It's like... 2 and a bit million.
Yeah. How did that happen?
It was just by chance and it was pure luck. I never thought about Spotify before, and yeah. Then some digital distributors in New Zealand, DRM, thank you, they approached me, and I was like, oh, okay. After like 3 months of ignoring them, and then just someone liked it somewhere and then put it on a playlist, and then it got put on other playlists. It was like, it's fucking nuts, but yeah, it generated a whole bunch of plays, and it was really surprising. It took like a year.
Yeah How does that affect, how does having a track with millions of streams affect the way you work?
Doesn't affect the way I work, but like, sometimes it pisses me off because it's like, that song's got like 2 million plays, and then like, I just released this new record, and then it's just like, still getting like some plays, but not 2 million. So then you like get into this weird mindset, but it doesn't really affect the way I do anything. I'm super grateful for it though, but it's just weird.
I would also be foolish not to talk about 1-12 Records.
Yeah.
Your label based in Auckland. How did that relationship come to be?
I knew Kim very briefly, like, because I was a fan of Gay Time.
That's Kim from 1-12. 1-12 is made up of two guys, Dave and Kim.
Yeah.
Dave is a doctor. Kim, rock and roller.
Yeah.
Kim played in Gay Time.
Yeah. And so I knew Kim like a little bit, and then David came up to me one night at the King's Arms, and he had gotten hold of a compilation that Andrew Tolley put together, Greatest Shits, and so he was like, he liked it, and then he was like, do you want to do a record? And I was stoked, because that's like all I ever wanted to do was do a record of my shit. And so it happened from there, and then that's pretty much it. Cool. It was very like casual.
Yeah. Well, now that you've put out a couple of records with 1 to 12's help, what do you want to do now?
Keep making music. And if 1 to 12 want to do a record, then that's like fucking totally cool with me. I don't know. I just want to keep making music, and I want to take it overseas as well, because I haven't played. I played solo once overseas.
Hmm.
But yeah, like I want to try do something.
Where does that drive come from?
I don't know. This shit's all I've got. Really.
Well, thank you so much for coming up. I think that's probably the best way to you can't beat that answer.
No, thank you for having me.
Oh yeah, anytime. You can play a cover. Religious cover, I think you mentioned just before.
Yeah, so hopefully I don't fuck it up, but it's a song by the Medical Mission Sisters, and I found their record in an op shop.
Mm.
I can't remember her name. It was like Marie Therese. Yeah, they did some really crazy songs.
Is it older? Is it newer? When's it from?
I'm going to take a wild guess right now because I can't remember, but like 69, maybe mid 70s.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty broad.
Thank you so much for it.
Thanks, Zach.
We first met, it was early spring, and all the birds began to sing.
That was Live and Direct, thanks to NZ On Air Music.